Good evening.
I ask you to turn to Genesis 17. Genesis 17 for our starting point tonight. Thank you for encouraging me by being here. For the singing, the sharing, the praying. It's a great blessing to be able to join with this group of saints. Thank you for being a part of that. We've been looking at the greatness of our God. We'll be doing that for all eternity, by the way, so I hope you're not getting bored at all. So we won't exhaust it here, I can guarantee you, and we won't exhaust it there either. So the wonder of who our Lord is, what a blessing. Now, you may get bored of hearing me talk about it, but you won't get bored in heaven. So, and hopefully you won't get bored thinking about Him. We're thinking about the omnipotence of God, and I want us just to begin here in Genesis chapter 17, just by reading the first two verses to start out with tonight. Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Last time we looked a little bit at about our great God and reminded not only of the fact that He is omnipresent, He's always everywhere. He is also omniscient, as we've seen. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. And we found the third of these omni characteristics is that He's all-powerful. He can do anything. Our great God has the ability to do anything and everything He wills to do. I don't know if you can make that out. Some of you may have seen this in the news. If you didn't, you might think, what in the world is that? This is the casket, the pallbearers for a five-year-old boy, Braden Denton. He'd been battling an aggressive form of brain cancer known as DIPG. That brain cancer has a zero survival rate. Zero. Nobody recovers or ever has from this brain cancer. He had been going through radiation, battling this for about a year, and last month he died. And little Braden had a love for superheroes. That was his thing. And so his mother decided that instead of having men wearing suits to carry his casket, she was going to get some men wearing superhero costumes. So, I don't know if you recognize any of those people. Spider-Man's up there, Thor, the Hulk, Superman, Iron Man, and Batman carrying that five-year-old boy's casket. He especially loved Spider-Man, by the way. But you know, a lot of times you talk to young people, particularly children, and they're caught up with superheroes. A little boy that Kim tutors, he'll ask sometimes, he asked me this several times, if you could have any superpower, what would you have? Superpower. That's what they're into, you know. That's what this little boy, he was enamored with these superheroes because they had superpowers. You know, of course, these heroes are imaginary. But we have a God who is real. He's not imaginary. Some people will tell us that He's just a figment of our imagination, a crutch to help us get through life because we're weak. But we know better. He is not only powerful, He's all-powerful. He is our omnipotent God. And we have seen that God is able to do anything He wills to do. And also, we saw last time that there are some things that our omnipotent God cannot do. He can't do anything that's inconsistent with His laws, His character or His decrees. So we're going to move on from there tonight. And we want to look at a little scriptural evidence of the omnipotence of God. And we're going to see four things here from the scriptural evidence concerning His omnipotence. And we know that He's omnipotent. I'm not here to convince anybody. I don't think of that. Maybe you need to be convinced. But, you know, it's one thing to know the truth. It's something else to know that truth based on the Scripture. If somebody asks you, prove to me, how do you know that God is omnipotent? How do you know that God is all-powerful? Would you be able to do that? Let's look at several things. You see here behind me that, first of all, His titles declare Him to be omnipotent. Now, titles are often used to express respect and honor, but they also oftentimes express description. Description. You know, the title doctor, that is a title of respect and honor and achievement, but it also describes the person and what they're due, at least if they're a medical doctor anyway. Otherwise, it may not describe it as much, but I was talking to Jim Winberry, and he was telling me about his dad. His dad had a title. It was Big Honcho. Big Honcho. You know, and that kind of described his dad. It wasn't a title necessarily of respect, but hey, if he's a big honcho, you probably ought to respect him. But you know, the titles that God has selected for Himself, and we may come up with our own titles that we may call God or speak of Him as, but you know, when we look at the titles that He selected, when we look at the titles that He put in His Word, then we know that that's God expressing Himself and wanting us to know not only that He is worthy of our respect and reverence and honor, but also to know what He's like. Here in the verse that we read, the first verse, we see there very clearly God saying, I am Almighty God. There he puts the title on Himself. He said, that's who I am. I am Almighty God. When you think here, we're in the Old Testament, of course, and here in the Old Testament we have the Hebrew. And Shaddai is the word that's translated in most English Bibles, Almighty. There are some scholars who think that maybe this should be translated sufficient. But I would suggest that if it is sufficient, then that sufficiency is based on power. Okay? So the thought here, Shaddai, means not only mighty, but it means almighty. It means most powerful. El is the Hebrew word that's translated God here in this verse. And interestingly enough, that word emphasizes the idea of strength and power. Okay? So those two words together, God brings those two words together to declare Himself as Almighty God. And we see here in Genesis 17, God revealing Himself to Abram as Almighty God. He speaks of a covenant down in verse 6. He says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Think about that. Now, that's the one who says, I'm Almighty. I have all power, all ability, all strength. We read in Exodus 6:3 that God said to Moses, I appeared to Abraham, we saw it here, and to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty. And of course, at that point, he was revealing Himself to Moses as Lord, as Jehovah. Almighty God. Look on over at Genesis 28. We see a couple of different forms of this title of God in the Old Testament. 48 times we actually find the word Shaddai, again, usually translated Almighty. In chapter 17, we saw God proclaiming Himself as Almighty God. Now here in Genesis 28, down in verse 3, we have Isaac speaking to his son Jacob, and he said, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may be an assembly of peoples and give you the blessing of Abraham, to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. The name by which God revealed Himself to the patriarchs, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I am Almighty God. Here, may God Almighty, just changing the order of those two words, but still emphasizing the power of God, emphasizing the almightiness, the omnipotence of God. I'll go over one more passage here in Genesis chapter 49. At the end of the book, Jacob, Israel, he is prophesying concerning his sons and their future as individuals and also as tribes. And we see in verse 25 as he prophesies regarding his son Joseph, listen to what he says. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph. We saw him declaring himself as Almighty God to Abraham. We see Abraham's son Isaac sharing with Abraham's grandson the blessing of God Almighty. And here Jacob prophesies concerning his sons, the great-grandsons of Abraham. And by the Almighty who will bless you. You know, I couldn't help but notice the theme of blessing in every one of those. Three different ways the word was used, or three different little terms. Almighty God, God Almighty, and Almighty, the Almighty. And every one of them, we find Him talking about blessing. Blessed by the one who has all power, whose hand is not short, whose arm is not weak. That is our God. But also notice, and I'll just for sake of time, I'll just read it for you. The last mention in the Old Testament, as I said, there are 48 mentions of Shaddai, Almighty, in the Old Testament. And listen to the Joel 1:15. Blessing seems to be one of the themes associated with the omnipotence of God in the Old Testament. Here you'll see another theme that if you go back and look at the other references, you'll find this coming out frequently. Joel says, "Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty." That's the other theme that I see in the Old Testament with that word Shaddai, Almighty. There's the blessing of God, but there's also the powerful destruction of God. There's the almighty graciousness of God in pouring out blessings and promises on people who don't deserve it, but then there is also that all-powerful destruction and wrath of God against sin. Blessing, instruction, blessing and destruction, both in the power of the Almighty. Let's go to the New Testament for a few minutes here. And we see in the New Testament, of course, written in Greek, if you'll go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and as you're turning, I'll just mention to you that of the times that we find this word translated Almighty in the New Testament, and here there is no question regarding what the word means. It's very obvious, as we'll mention. But we find it here in 2 Corinthians 6. And all of the other mentions, I think there are 10 other mentions of Almighty in the New Testament, and they're all in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, familiar verses, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." First mention in the New Testament. Go back to those first mentions of the Old Testament, the blessing of God Almighty. And here we have it again, the blessing of the Lord Almighty. There's your word in the Greek. Pantocrator. I meant to go listen to that and see what it sounded like. Is that right? Anybody, any Greek speakers? Or pronunciators. Pantocrator, derived from pos, meaning all, the prefix, and then kratos, meaning power, might, strength, or dominion. All powerful, all mighty, all strong, all dominion. That is our God. That is how He is presented in the New Testament. Look over at Revelation 11:17 as we close up here tonight. I'm not going to get any further than this declaration of God's omnipotence through the titles that He Himself has selected. God Almighty, Almighty God, the Almighty, the Lord Almighty. We're going to see here, Lord God Almighty. Revelation 11 and verse 17. Look at verse 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Again, we see that theme of the blessing of the Almighty, but also the destruction of the Almighty, the wrath of the Almighty. We won't look at the other references in Revelation 19, last time we read that, where in most of our English Bibles we have that little phrase, Lord God omnipotent. Alleluia! The mighty thundering sound is in heaven. Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. His titles declare that He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And that is the power, brothers and sisters. That is the power on which we call tonight when we pray, in which you'll call tonight when you go home and pray and tomorrow. That is the power that God says is at our disposal. Him working out His will through us. Hey, if you'd like to watch Spider-Man, that's okay. More power to you. That wasn't a pun, by the way. More power to you. But we know where the true power is. The Almighty, the Omnipotent, God Almighty. Might we do like the 24 elders? Might we fall down before Him and give Him thanks, O Lord God Almighty? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You tonight. O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come. Father, how we look forward to that day when You will take Your great power and You will reign. Father, we thank You that You are King of Kings. Now Your Son is the King, but He's not been acknowledged here upon this earth. Father, in this room, we acknowledge Him as King. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord God omnipotent, reigning in our lives, reigning in our hearts, reigning in this assembly. Father, we look forward to the day when He will reign upon this earth. He is worthy. And Father, we come to You tonight and we confess our many needs. We say amen to all the prayers and all the prayer requests that have been mentioned. We thank You that You are able to do exceeding abundantly above everything that we have asked tonight, that we can ask, that we thought tonight, that we can think. Lord, we confess that You are all-powerful, Lord God Almighty, and we bow before You and give You thanks. May our hearts be warmed as we meditate on You, the truly all-powerful One, and we pray in Your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May the Lord encourage you as you meditate on Him.